following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
When you hear the word Sabbath, what do you think about? Like, maybe you don't think about anything. Maybe the word Sabbath only brings to mind Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, 70s rock, right? That's the only thing you know about the Sabbath. You didn't grow up in church. And so the Sabbath to you is it means nothing. For others of you, if you grew up in the church like me, like, what do you think about? When I think about the Sabbath, I think about Sunday morning. I think about going to church with my grandma and then going to her house to eat fried chicken and mashed potatoes and all the greens and pie and all of that. It's a time of being with the Lord and then being with the family. It's a time of eating good and just relaxing, watching Braves games on the TV with my grandpa in the afternoon. That's what I think about when I think of Sabbath. And for some of you, you might have some similar thoughts. Family time, time at church, time at worship. And in some form, I think, even if that's not where you're at, maybe you just simply think about the Sabbath as a day off. It's a day where you're not working. But is that what the Sabbath is meant to be? Just another day off? I mean, Lord knows we need a day off. 2020 has been a hard year. And beyond that, like, even in normal times, we need time to rest and recharge and regenerate our energy. It's actually interesting. A study back in 2014 showed that an employee's productivity actually starts to fall off drastically when they hit that 55-hour-a-week mark, which is about 6 days a week of work. And they actually concluded this study on productivity and said that a good rule of thumb is to take at least 1 day off a week to not do any work at all. A 7-day work week is detrimental to productivity. So right there, we have scientific evidence that we need a day off. We need a Sabbath in that way, right? We are physically, emotionally, mentally wired to need 1 day a week to recharge. But as the last year has shown us, we don't just need a day off to do nothing. In fact, our day off can leave us drained, needing a day off from our day off. I mean, how many of you this year ended up having to quarantine in your room for 14 days? How exactly restful was that? How bored did you get with that? Like, we would say, like, resting doesn't necessarily equal doing nothing, vegging out, streaming show after show on Netflix, scanning social media all day. That's not really restful for us. It can leave us feeling drained. And if you're a parent who's at home with your kids all day, like, what does a day off actually look like for you? Does that mean you're by yourself for 24 hours, 12 hours, 3? And if you're a single parent, if a day off is simply, the Sabbath is simply getting a day off to rest and do nothing, like, is there any hope for you in that? And I think this also speaks to something more profound about the kind of rest that we need. We don't need just physical rest. Once again, this last year, at least for me, has shown me that I don't just need a physical rest. I need to mentally and emotionally rest. I need a break from the endless news cycle. I need a break from all the political hand-wringing. We need a break from the constant fire-starting that's just happening on social media 24/7. We need a break from all the misery and pain and suffering. And sadly, some of us, we just can't escape that by turning off our phones and being in our house by ourselves. Because some of you, you're sitting here at the beginning of 2021 and you're missing people who were here with you last year. You can't take a day off from that, can you? You can't take a day off from the chaos of damage to your home. You can't take a day off from the heartache of lost relationships, of a lost job, of tight finances, of countless mistakes and failures that you have caused and endured and now sit this year hoping that you could do better and finally meet your expectations. See, we need a day of rest, not just from work, but from the world. We need a day of rest from loss and unexpected hardship. We need a break from ourselves and our own disappointments. And where can we go to find that kind of rest? That is what the Sabbath is about. That kind of rest is what the Sabbath promises us. It's not just another day for when you're tired from your jobs, as if that even affects all of us anyways, right? No. As we're going to see today, the Sabbath is meant to be a day of rest from a broken world infected by sin. That the Sabbath is a day where we experience a better world promised by God, breaking into this crusty, groaning, and dying one. God wants us one day a week to observe a day where we experience life as he created it to be. That is the Sabbath. And this weekly pattern of breaking the monotony and pain of our lives is meant by God to revive us. The Sabbath is meant to revive us. If we're going to talk about revival, we got to talk about the Sabbath. And in order to do that, what we have to do this week first is answer three questions. The first question we're going to answer is simply, what is the Sabbath? The second question is, why do we still need the Sabbath? And then third, where do we start? And we're going to answer these questions by first looking at where the Sabbath was created. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And if you don't, the word should be on the screen. But we're going to read the first three verses. And this is the final day of the whole creation account. So in Genesis 1, God created all the heavens and the earth. And then in the very beginning of Genesis 2, he wraps up his creation account. And this is what we read in verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. What we see there is the creation of the Sabbath day. And what we have there is this definition of the Sabbath. And this, the definition of the Sabbath that is, we can work out of this is that the Sabbath is a day of rest that is life-giving because it's centered on God. I'll say that again. The Sabbath, as Genesis 2, 1 through 3 points out, is a day of rest that is life-giving because it is centered on God. And so what I want to do this morning in answering this question, what is the Sabbath, is break down what this statement means and show you how I got this from these three verses. And so first, the Sabbath is a day of rest. The Sabbath is a day of rest. So if you notice in verses 1 through 3 there that the word finished is used twice at the very beginning. And the word rested is used two more times toward the end. And both of those words in the original Hebrew are closely related in that they mean the same thing. It's not the same word, but it means the same thing. And that is stop, to cease. However, God isn't stopping from his work because he's tired. It says God is stopping from his work because his work is done. He's resting because the work he had to do is finally complete. See, God's rest is not one where he gets worn out and tired, as if God could ever get worn out and tired. If you read Genesis 1, the way he creates is simply by speaking. It's effortless. Rather, God's rest is one of joy and satisfaction, of enjoyment. He's like an artist who has just made the last stroke with the brush on his painting, and he stands back to appreciate the work of art in front of him. Now, he has the energy to keep going, but he doesn't have the need. His vision is complete. You see, another thing that we notice is that if you go back to Genesis 1 and you read the creation account, you see this refrain, and there was morning and there was evening after every day of creation. But you don't see that here in verse 7. There's nothing else that God needs to create. There's nothing else that God desires to do. And what we see here is that the Sabbath day is to be a day, or was to be a day, without an end. The seventh day of perpetual, endless rest. And the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 says that God still lives within this day of rest. However, for us human beings, this day of rest doesn't last very long. The very next chapter, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, rebel against God, sinning against him, disobeying him, and they're kicked out of this Sabbath rest. Instead of being able to rest from their work now becomes more difficult on them. Instead of being able to enjoy the fruit of their labor, they suffer in trying to create and sustain life. But God, even after Adam and Eve disobeyed him, he's not done with the human race. He has a plan to rescue us. Later in the story, in the book of Exodus, the very next book of the Bible, God frees the nation of Israel from slavery and he makes a covenant with them. And he gives them 10 commandments. And these are 10 rules that they're to live by as his covenant people. And the fourth commandment is a commandment to observe the Sabbath. It's in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Read along with me. God says that you are to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For or because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. What's God doing here? He's commanding his people that one day a week, they are to observe a day that would mimic the seventh day of creation. They have one day a week where they are to seek to experience life with God as he originally created it to be. See, the Sabbath isn't just a day of rest and relaxation and recharging. It is a day where we are to experience the life that God wants for us. We are to experience heaven here on earth. That's why the Sabbath in the Old Testament centered around the tabernacle and the temple, because that's where God's presence dwelt. They were to spend that day in the presence of God, enjoying God and enjoying the life and the gifts that he had given them, not worrying about where they're going to make income or make ends meet. Like the word work here in Genesis 2 and in Exodus 20 is the same word used for your occupation or your job that you make money at. God is commanding them he's commanding them to not work for money. They're to have one day a week where they're to stop the grind. And if you notice, the reason that they're to rest has nothing to do with their energy levels. And neither Genesis 2 or Exodus 20 do you see you need to rest because you're going to wear yourself out. That's not God's concern. No, the command of Exodus 20 is that they are to, is to be a day of rest, because that is to imitate what God did in Genesis 2. In verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth." You're to imitate me, God's saying. And you're to enter my rest and be with me and my, and see what I've done for you and be in my presence. It's like our life is one where we're hiking up a mountain. And for 6 days a week, all we can see is the trail right in front of us and the trees around us. We have no idea of the progress we're making. But then every seventh day, we come to a clearing. And we're able to look out over the mountain range. And we're able to see how much higher we've risen above the earth below us. And in that clearing, as we behold our progress and what God has allowed us to do, he invites us to set a tent, to make a fire, to prop our feet up and eat a good meal. And just hang out with him. That is what is truly restful to the Lord. If you think rest, that God wants you to take a Sabbath merely because he doesn't want to wear yourself out, what's going to end up happening is that some of you are like Energizer bunnies, and you can work 7 days straight and not feel any need to stop. And so in your head, you're going to think, oh, the Sabbath is for me to recharge, but I don't need to recharge. And you'll never observe the Sabbath. That's not what God is asking of you. God is asking you to observe the Sabbath and rest as he rested. That is, in his presence, enjoying the life that he has given you. That is true rest. The Sabbath is a day of rest. The Sabbath is also life-giving. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 says that God blessed this day and he made it holy. Like, what does blessed mean? You know, blessed can be kind of a feeble word. We say it when someone sneezes, bless you. Do we even know what we're saying? Or is it just polite manners? Well, there's only one other place in the creation account where God blesses something, and it's actually up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God says, in that verse, he says, God blessed Adam and Eve, and God said to the man and woman, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The blessing of verse 28 in this creation story is tied to God's command to be fruitful and multiply. His blessing is a commitment to help the man and the woman flourish as human beings. An author named Sally Lloyd-Jones put it this way. She said, when God promises to bless you, what he's saying is, I'm going to make you into everything I ever meant for you to be. I'm going to make you into everything I meant for you to be. God's blessing is his commitment to our good. And when God blesses the Sabbath in Genesis 2, he's saying that the Sabbath day, because it's blessed by me, that is as important to human flourishing and prosperity as sex and food are. If you want to truly experience what it means to be human, to experience the life that God has made you for, then you need to take the Sabbath seriously. See, God created us to live with an awareness of his presence and his goodness. We're wired to flourish when we frequently stop and appreciate and enjoy all that he's given us. And God is promising us that if we would do this, we would be blessed by him. We would be strengthened and empowered to live the life that he has called us to be. We would become who he has made us to be. And all of this is true because, thirdly, the Sabbath is centered on God. The Sabbath is centered on the Lord. See, in Genesis 2, we read that God made the Sabbath holy. And in Exodus 20, the command is to keep the Sabbath holy. Like, what does that mean, holy? The word holy means set apart, as important. The Sabbath day is a day set apart to God. He's the focus. Like, why is that? Because he created us for himself. Life works best when we know the Lord and live like him. We're made to bear his image. And so for this reason, God commands us to set aside a day of rest where we are revived because we're focusing on him. One day a week where we get our minds off of the grind in front of us and get our eyes up to look at all that God is and all that God has done for us. One day a week where we acknowledge and appreciate all that God's given us and we enjoy the life he's provided for us. We enjoy our family. We enjoy good food. We enjoy worship. We enjoy being with the Lord. We enjoy all the opportunities that he's given us. The Sabbath is meant to revive us. Because it's a day where we intentionally seek to recreate the life God meant us to live in his presence. And this leads us and helps us answer the second question this morning, which is, why do we still need the Sabbath at all? Like, maybe you started out this morning going, I don't need a Sabbath. After all, maybe you're one of those Energizer bunnies and you feel like, I don't ever need to stop working. Or maybe you're someone who says, I take many Sabbaths, right? I take Sabbaths like a couple hours a day or three times a week. I take a few hours to myself. That's not what God desires for you. Understand the command of Sabbath and the idea of having a whole day of rest in the Lord, that is never in the whole scriptures demolished or taken away. It's not saying that you can't Sabbath with the Lord multiple times during the week, but it's also to say that there should be a period of time, a day a week, a period of time per week that is set aside to rest in the Lord. And the reason for that is that without that day, without the Sabbath regularly reorienting us, our life becomes dead and meaningless. Like, for instance, here in Genesis 2, it's verse 1, it says, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. The hosts there are the stars. And what we have in Genesis 2 is that God created these. But then sin enters in the world, and these created things become competition with the Creator. So much so that Moses, before the people enter the Promised Land, after getting the Ten Commandments, including the commandment to observe the Sabbath, he actually had to tell them in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19, that they should beware unless you raise your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, you'll be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. He's saying the things that God created in Genesis 2 are now things that will compete for his glory and his worship in your life. And we may think that's silly. Like, we and I, we're not going out bowing down to the sun every morning. There are peoples in our world who do that, though. But after all, we don't do that. We're too educated, right? Maybe. One of the clearest ways, though, to see what we really value is to follow what we spend our money on. There's a reason that Jesus says that we can't worship both money and God. Because money has our hearts, and it's often the very best way to see exactly what we truly value. So for instance, look at this chart with me. Starting on the right and moving to the left, here's what we have spent in the last year in billions of dollars. $350 billion on eating out. $300 billion on entertainment. That's dates, streaming sites, movies, shows. $150 billion on alcohol and cigarettes. $150 billion on illegal drugs. $108 billion on pornography and prostitution. And that very last little bar all the way over to the left, that is $50 billion given to the church. Now, I know that not all Americans are religious. So even if we were to say, okay, let's take the church and we just lump it in with all charitable giving, what we find is that America, the United States, on average, gives $400 billion to charity, which should be the next graph there. That's still less than half of what we spent on those other five areas combined, which equal over $1 trillion of our money. Like, why do we spend so much money on these things? Because every day of the week, we are bombarded with new fears and new anxieties. The control in your life is challenged. Your prosperity is threatened. Your happiness is at risk. And in those moments, you are tempted to find salvation and to find rest in something other than the Lord. You are tempted to Sabbath somewhere other than God. And just like the ancient people of Israel's time, and they went after gods represented by the sun and the moon and the stars, you and I go after saviors represented by money and comfort and sex and romance. Like, we try to rest by checking out from our problems and giving in to our desires, but those things don't work, do they? The created world is not made to revive us by itself. It's supposed to be a tool within the hands of our Creator to revive us. Yet it doesn't stop us from trying. In fact, what ends up happening, though, is everything we try and create to make life more restful actually ends up enslaving us and making us more worn out. So for instance, take the smartphone. When this thing here was built, it was marketed as a way to get us out of the office, to give us more time away from our homes. We didn't need to stay attached to a computer or a home phone line anymore. We could live our lives, right? We could enjoy the time. We could have a 20-hour work week and still have access to our emails whenever we needed to. But how has that worked out for us? Now we're working more hours. The line between home and work has been blurred and almost disappeared completely. You're constantly reachable. And now we actually have countless numbers of books on how to cut the cord, if you will, from our smart devices, because we realize how taxing they are on us. The thing we created that we thought would solve our working problem has actually made life more stressful. And it is just one of many, many ways that we have failed to do this on our own. We need the Sabbath. The Sabbath is what God has created to revive us. The Sabbath is meant to revive us. It is God's gift to us. So how do we start? Simply put, we have to start with Jesus. See, God sent his son, Jesus, to restore this Sabbath rest. Jesus actually says in Mark chapter 4 that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one in charge of true rest. And in the course of his life, see, Jesus lived a life that you and I could not live. He never replaced God with his creation. He only and always found his true rest in the Father. And so when he was crucified, his innocent life was able to be the sacrifice that could atone and reverse the sin of Adam and Eve. See, once again, in his death, Jesus, just like his Father in Genesis 2, claimed that it was finished. And in his death, we're given access back into the presence of God where true rest is found. So you can set aside a day where you do nothing and you will end up just as worn out and just as lifeless as you were the day before. But if you set aside a day to rest in the presence of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, you rest in a way that revives you, that blesses you with new life. Because in Christ, all those who believe are born again. We are new creations. We belong to a new and better world. And when we observe the Sabbath as Christians, we can observe it in our own homes because the presence of God is with us there in that moment. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead now lives within us. And when we come together with other Christians on the Sabbath, the Spirit of God dwells among us as God's new temple, as God's new place of presence. And we find in that true and lasting rest. See, what we all need after a year like 2020 is we need a renewed commitment to a day of Sabbath. A day where we stop working to survive and we take all of our concerns and all of our tears and all of our fears and we lay them down at the feet of our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. A day where we can stare into his glory and find the real source of life. We need a day where we can focus our attention on Jesus, and in focusing on him, all of our other pursuits become more clearly the cheap substitutes of grace that they really are. In fact, when Jesus is front and center in our minds and in our hearts, we have then the surest, most confident reason to keep trusting God even when all those other pursuits fail us. Because God has loved us. He has saved us. He has given us true and never-ending life. The Sabbath has revived us because God has blessed us with the atoning work of his Son and the renewing power of his Spirit, which allows us to experience here and now the future realities of heaven on the Sabbath day. This is how the Sabbath is meant to revive us. So what do we do now? The first thing is you got to take this seriously. If we're going to see revival in our midst, then we must have a Sabbath in our lives. It's not some Old Testament artifact to be ignored. It's as important today as it was in Genesis 2 and as it will be at the end of time when we enter into the eternal Sabbath rest. Now, there are going to be some differences because of Christ and when we do that and what that might look like, which we'll get to in the coming weeks. But this morning, my encouragement is you got to take this seriously. Now, this will be more difficult for some of us than it will be for others. And this brings us to the second thing that we need to do, and that is acknowledge the difficulty. So you single parents, those of you with weird work schedules, those of you who are experiencing circumstances that makes it hard to even think that God might be good at this moment. and you're looking at this, you're going, oh, you want me to observe a Sabbath? How in the world am I to do that? Listen, acknowledge the difficulty and bring it to the Lord. Acknowledge the difficulty and bring it to God's people. Don't hide it. Don't ignore it, but acknowledge it. And then thirdly, be intentional. So this week, set aside a day. It could be Sunday or Saturday. It could be another day, a day where it's more easily, where you're more easily able to just set aside time to rest in the Lord. To sit down in that clearing and just observe where God has brought you. Where you've come from and where you're at now. To think about all the opportunities the Lord has given you and all the ways his grace has been shown to you. To set aside a day where you can celebrate what he's given you by eating a great meal with your family or friends, by enjoying a walk in nature. To set aside a time this week where you can maybe be in the Word or have music playing together, where maybe you and your family can sit down and go, okay, what's one thing we're thankful for this week from the Lord? But you got to be intentional. It's not going to happen naturally. There's a reason that God commanded that there was to be an order to this every seventh day. There's a reason he commanded it, because it's not something we're going to do naturally. So this week, before the day is over, look at your calendar and set aside that time. Be intentional. And remember that this is important, because the Sabbath is meant to revive us. It's going to give us this much needed perspective on the grace of God in our lives. Through Christ, we are drawing closer to the God who loves us. And it's going to revitalize us for the purposes of mission in our life that God has for us. It's going to invigorate the mission of God within his church. It's going to empower our discipleship. And it's going to grow people and develop them into missional leaders. That's what we want. We want 2021 to be the year that Life Connection Northeast experiences the power and presence of God in ways that we can explain it other than God has met us and revived us. And that's going to have to begin by taking the Sabbath seriously. The Sabbath is meant to revive us.